We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday night's main event.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
If you are the type of person that has said, I have not watched pro wrestling in years, I have to question whether or not you have any sort of device that has a screen on it. There is so much out there to talk about, including this week. WWE gets ready to head back to Saudi Arabia for the Elimination Chamber with some history-making matches of different kinds. AEW basks in the glory of the top spot on cable ratings. WWE has one of the most loaded cards in one of the most historic arenas in the world, and for some reason is having trouble selling tickets for it. You have a new woo-woo NWA World's Champion. The question is this enough to pique your interest? And we find out the story behind a last-minute addition to this past Wednesday's AEW Dynamite, all because of a slip of the tongue by the company's owner. Hello, I'm Mike McGuire. This is Canada's wrestling radio show, Sunday Night's Main Event, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. You can order yours online at greatlakesbeer.com. This show broadcasts across Canada on radio stations, including the iHeartRadio Talk Network, TSN Radio, and online, of course, at snmeradio.com. If this is your first time hearing Sunday Night's Main Event, we are more than a one-show pony. In fact, we have daily podcasts and shows not just based on wrestling. We have music specials, trivia shows hosted by Jason Agnew, and on average about 30 shows a month for as little as $5 per month at patreon.com/snmeradio. All in all, though, this show is about celebrating our love of pro wrestling from all corners of the earth. And we cover some of the biggest stories as well. Dave Meltzer from WrestlingObserver.com is stopping by. He's got all the inside information. But first, let's take a look at the biggest stories this week with the five count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
Spoiler alert, we have a new Intercontinental Champion in WWE. Sami Zayn is the new champ after a match against Shinsuke Nakamura that was filmed for this week's SmackDown. The show was actually taped in advance because the crew is on their way to the Elimination Chamber, PLE, in Saudi Arabia. WWE did a rare thing, though, and announced the title change in a spoiler release yesterday. It appears as though there will be no escape for WWE's Ali, who publicly requested a release from the company last month via social media. Probably not the best play now, as his latest tweet said, "See y'all in about 2.5 years." That indicates he's probably not being given his release. Does that mean he'll still be working for the company in any capacity? Or will he be staying at home getting paid to do nothing? We'll find out from Dave what the latest is in that story. Someone who is happy to sign a WWE contract, the first Ring of Honor women's champion, Roxy, has been offered a deal by WWE. Word is she was backstage at this past week's NXT tapings. Not sure if that offer was to debut her on NXT, which would probably make sense, or if they're going to move her right to the main roster. It's a little cluttered over there right now, though. Also curious to see if she's going to get a new name. I mean, I know she's going to get a new name, but I'm just kind of wondering what it's going to be. If you've been missing Eddie Kingston in AEW, he is on his way back. He's been dealing with a broken orbital bone. That's the one around your eye. Ouch. Word is he's supposed to be back this Wednesday. It'll be interesting to see if he plays a part in the tag match, which is set between Inner Circle members Proud and Powerful and Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. And one of the biggest stars in New Japan, Jay White, is All Elite for now. This is a very interesting story behind it because Jay White is still under contract in New Japan Pro Wrestling and Impact Wrestling in North America. Despite that, it appears as though he was a last-minute addition to this past week's Dynamite. Tony Khan said that the deal came through last Sunday and was because he knew Keith Lee would be debuting. Lee was a free agent and a, quote, forbidden door opening was promised. Those are just some of the stories making news in wrestling this week. We are going to talk all about the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view coming up this Saturday, 12 noon Eastern, if you plan on watching it live. Plus, a 16-year-old wrestler has just been signed by one of the biggest companies in the world. You'll find out who he is, and we're going to talk about a show at Madison Square Garden that's less than a month away that is struggling to sell tickets. right here on Sunday night's main event.
Won't take it back from me. The good and bad, cause you are.
When I'm on me boat, battling the waves, trying to gather me fish, it takes two important factors. A keen eye and a peeled ear. Me pappy told me, when you least expect it, expect it. And don't let a little choppy water get in your way. So when I pops the top of my Lake Effect IPA, I don't fret when the crest of a wave slaps me hard and I spill a little bit down me chin. I think of it as a favor, cause it's not too often out here that I gets to wash me beard. Go with the Lake Effect. It'll guide you right every time.
Lake Effect IPA, now available at an LCBO near you, the GLB retail store, and GreatLakesBeer.com.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider.
Guess who's back.
With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
The man with all the inside information every week, he is kind enough to share some of it with us here on Sunday night's main event from WrestlingObserver.com. It's Dave Meltzer. Dave, how are you today, sir?
I'm really good. How are you?
Doing all right. Another exciting week in wrestling. Some fun things we saw as far as debuts, as far as appearances. We're a week away from Elimination Chamber, where we're going to get new champions galore, I'm sure. And it'll be a wildly unpredictable show, maybe. And maybe, I don't know. They did surprise us last time they were in Saudi, right? So
who knows?
All right, let's get down to some of the business here. Some of the big news this week, obviously Keith Lee and Jay White making their debuts on AEW. Keith Lee, we've known for a while, was a free agent. You'd have to be silly to not want to sign that guy. But Jay White, according to, and I heard this was from Tony Khan himself, was kind of almost a last-minute deal because Tony didn't want to not make good on a forbidden door promise that he had said earlier in the week. Is that true? Is that how this all happened?
I mean, yeah, kind of. You know, what it was when he was promoting Keith Lee, I think he used the term forbidden door and then kind of realized that everybody thought forbidden door meant New Japan Pro Wrestling because Tanahashi's the one who came up with the term forbidden door that AEW and Tony Khan started using.
Right.
And so the idea was, as well, Keith Lee is a free agent. It's not any forbidden door. So I guess to make up for it, he brought in Jay White for the, you know, for the tapings. And I guess Jay White will be on, you know, be around for a couple of weeks.
Is that what you think it's going to be? Just a few weeks, then he's kind of in and gone?
You know, like I knew Jay White was coming in, and I'm because on my show Monday night, we, you know, me and Brian Alvarez talked about it. And Brian goes, but the guy's supposed to come in and sign a contract. And I go, well, okay, that means that's two people because Jay White is not able to sign a contract. He's got a long-term deal with New Japan, but the two sides, you know, New Japan and AEW have a good working relationship right now, which wasn't the case before, but is the case now.
Do you think that it really was just the semantics of using that phrase that kind of forced them to push their hand this quickly? I mean, that seems like a pretty big move just because you said the words forbidden door that you, oh geez, I better bring in somebody really cool from New Japan then.
He didn't have to do it. And I think it's probably more something that like came into his head of like, okay, people are criticizing me. And so we can do something with this for a positive. So, you know, that's what he did.
And for those in North America that aren't totally familiar with Jay White, can you give us kind of a Cole's Notes history? I mean, there is a history between him and Kenny Omega with the Bullet Club. And really, he's been making a name for himself the last few years here. But for those that don't know, the nitty gritty on Jay White, what can you tell us about him that might make him a little more interesting to the casual fan?
I mean, he's the top foreigner in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And basically when Kenny Omega left in 2000, I guess it would have been early 2019, Jay White was basically put in his position. So like the whole, you know, Ghetto Book's about a year at 18 months ahead. So all of the things that Kenny Omega was going to do, including headline Madison Square Garden against Okada and Tokyo Dome matches and things like that with Okada Ibushi, that was all of the Kenny Omega stuff. So that tells you how big a deal New Japan saw him as when Kenny Omega, who was the biggest foreign star that the company's had in a long, long time, when he left the company, they needed to plug somebody in. And I mean, there are two choices. There's Jay White and Will Ospreay. And they went with Jay White because they thought probably it was a little early to make Will Ospreay heel. Will Ospreay later turned on Okada at the right time and is there too. So now it's like Will Ospreay and Jay White are kind of like dueling to be who the top foreign star is. And Jeff Cobb's kind of on their heels too. So it's not, you know, and Jay hasn't been in Japan for a while because of COVID, you know, and everything in the quarantine, and he doesn't want to go through the quarantine stuff. So he's been working mostly in the United States on New Japan Strong.
Okay, let's shift gears to a guy we might not see on TV for a long time. Adil Alam, a.k.a. Mustafa Ali, put out a tweet yesterday saying, "I'll see y'all in like 2.5 years. Now, for those that aren't aware, Ali did ask for his release, about a month ago, and has not been given it, clearly.
And clearly was told based on that tweet that you are not getting it. And 2.5 years is a long time. No, and you know, the bad part of this, if there's a lot of bad parts of this, but one of the bad parts of this is that by being so public about it and him not being a top guy, it's like guaranteed that he's in purgatory now. You know what I mean? Like if you're a top guy, if you're Randy Orton and you did something like that, you can get away with it because you're Randy Orton.
Right.
If you're Mustafa Ali, you are, you know, doomed in the sense that you're not going to get a push because they already know you want to leave. And, you know, that's the upside is he's going to get paid for the next 2.5 years. The downside is that, you know, he's in his mid-30s and, you know, it's like you really want to make a move and do something in wrestling and he is not going to be able to. And I think it's from a performer standpoint for him, it's got to be incredibly frustrating because he could go somewhere. And, you know, he can go on the indies or he could go to AEW and, you know, he's a talent. He's a real talent. But they, you know, he's got the size thing working against him and he wanted to go somewhere where it wouldn't work against him. And but he'd signed the long term contract and we're in a wrestling war. And so he's, you know, if we're in a wrestling war, I think the situation would be very different.
Are they really just going to make him sit at home for 2.5 years? Do they reach out at all, do you think, and say, hey, look, do you want to come back on the road? Do you want to at least do house shows or live events? Or
they could book him and he's gonna go.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because if not, then they don't have to pay him and they can still suspend him for the remainder of his contract. So if they call him and go, hey, we want you to work such and such a show, I'm sure he's gonna do it. And I'm sure he wants to do it. He's a wrestler. Wrestlers want to wrestle, especially when they're in their 30s. You know what I mean? Where you know in your 20s you kind of like, It's there's one thing, but when you're 30s, you kind of can go like, okay, I'm hurting and everything like that. So it's like, this is the time in my career where I have experience and I want to make my mark. And he's benched, you know, unfortunately. So that's unfortunately for him.
It does seem like such a waste of a talent. I mean, we've heard of other talents doing this, though. I mean, the Revival /FTR back when they were wanting their release.
We haven't gotten it either. They had to wait until their contracts were up and then their contracts ended up being frozen to take it a couple more months.
Yeah.
And that's happened with a lot of people, you know, who've said, oh, OK, this is my, you know, finishing update. And then the office goes, oh, you know, you got 6 more months. Or with Danielson, it was like you got another year. So it's just like, so, you know, that's what happens.
Crazy. Okay. Speaking of new faces showing up, this is a new face that technically has been offered an AEW contract. It's been noted as a developmental sort of contract where this kid is 16 years old and needs to finish high school, but he's been having matches like crazy in Defy Wrestling. Nick Wayne. Tell us about 16-year-old Nick Wayne, who has just been offered an AEW contract.
Yes. So he's been wrestling for Game Changer Wrestling all over the country. But Nick Wayne, and he's from Seattle. He's the son of Buddy Wayne, who was a, you know, an enhancement guy who's on WCW TV, probably WWF TV. Good worker, really good worker. And, you know, I mean, I remember probably I first heard of him. I'm going to say when he was for sure 13, if not younger, because he was training with Brian Alvarez and, you know, and he was is a prodigy at this. So he had a match with Joey Janela not all that long ago that blew the roof off of the place. And ever since then, you know, he's been working for Game Changer and he's got a lot of buzz around him. And Tony Khan, you know, found out he worked with Christopher Daniels, who's head of talent relations at AEW, and in the match on last night. And then Darby Allin came out and offered him a deal to get a big pop. And he, I guess, agreed to the deal. I guess his mom has to agree to the deal because he's underage. And it's like, yeah, I don't know all the details. I actually asked Tony Khan what the details were, and I haven't, he hasn't gotten back to me, but it's, you know, I don't expect him on TV until he's 18, put it that way. But
right.
He is working in some places, you know, in places where you're allowed to work, you know, because different states have different bylaws and some states you won't be able to work. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised maybe if they even bring him in for some like darks and things like that.
Well, it's exciting. Definitely. I mean, imagine being 16 years old, wanting to be a wrestler and one of the biggest companies in the world offers you the shot. That's pretty neat indeed. You brought up Game Changer Wrestling there. They've been making some bigger moves as of late. This kind of started out, I'd say even a year ago, to the mainstream fan as just a little power indie that's kind of starting to get some tread and everything else. They just announced they signed a contract with Nick Gage. Now, Nick Gage, of course, the deathmatch wrestler most famous for. Is this a big deal signing, or is this just kind of a, hey, we just want to stake him as our own?
I mean, it's something in the sense that it shows that they believe that they're in for a long haul and they're not just, but it's only one guy being signed. If they start signing lots of guys, then it's a bigger deal. But yeah, they've expanded and they're running a full schedule. I mean, they're, you could make the argument even with no television that they're the number three promotion in the country because we don't know what's up with Ring of Honor. I mean, Impact is around, but Impact's not touring the country and drawing right now. And you know, they've got a lot of buzz about them. And I mean, they have for a couple of years, because I mean, I remember years ago when Joey Janela's Spring Break was like one of the biggest things WrestleMania week. Mm-hmm. But I think even before the Hammerstein show, like the Hammerstein show was kind of the coming out party. But even before that, you know, I mean, I was hearing more and more and more. I went to another shows in Chicago and there was 1400 people there and they were going crazy. I mean, and whether you like, you know, it's a style that not everyone's going to like, but it's still, you know what I mean? I mean, if you can draw and you have an audience, then more power to you. And it's revitalized Matt Cardona's career, too.
Big time, big time. New NWA champion, Matt Cardona.
Yes.
That was kind of a gimme, I think, going into that match as soon as they announced it. I mean, where else do you go from there? I mean, Murdoch was great for the heritage approach of NWA, but this has to be a big boost for NWA moving forward.
I think it's the right move, for sure. I mean, Cardona's got some buzz on him, and, you know, more than Trevor Murdoch has. They can also get Aldis back in the picture with him. Because Aldis is the most valuable guy, because Aldis is under NWA contract. So you're going to, you know, and a good contract, because it's like, you know, Aldis could go somewhere. He's the guy that they want to keep. And, you know, Aldis is a really good talker and carries himself well. And Cardona's got buzz. So, you know, you've got a match probably for a pay-per-view coming up that it's something, you know.
And speaking of companies trying to draw fans, WWE has a show at Madison Square Garden on the road to WrestleMania. I just checked the ticket map before doing the show here. There's a lot of empty seats, and that show is less than a month away. What is happening?
Well, I mean, it's funny because I just did a story this week on, you know, I mean, I always run down all the advanced ticket sales for every show, basically,
right,
over the next 6 weeks or so. You know, I mean, wrestling since the pandemic, it's when it came back, I think it was doing very, very well. Then it was just doing good. Then it was doing fine. And now when I look at these advances for both AEW and WWE, they are weak. And I would not have used that term until now. I mean, like WWE's had some Raws that have not drawn well. And now some of the SmackDowns aren't drawn well. And AEW, a lot of the shows, the Dynamites are not getting big advances either. So there is something to look at, especially because January through March traditionally is the biggest months for drawing. And some of these shows are not. And so is the Garden. You know, they got 3,900 tickets out for the Garden, and that's not paid. That's paid and comps, and they comp a lot at the Garden because of business relationships and stuff. And right. That's with Brock Lesnar against Bobby Lashley. It's with Ronda Rousey being announced for the show. And, you know, New York, whatever it is. I mean, WWE in New York, the UBS show didn't do well. Survivor Series didn't sell out, which shocked the hell out of me. It did pretty well, but it did not sell out. you know, AEW's outdrawn them in the New York market. But essentially, one of the things is they're running New York too often. I think that's part of it. But even with that, I mean, it's not like they're running it so much more than it's been run in the past, but you've got two companies in. So there are more shows now. Before it was only them. You know, they did about 4,800, 5,000 paid the last time at the Garden, which is very, very low historically. It was, I think, the third lowest since the 30s. Vince doesn't take this lying down. So Vince sending Lesnar there and Rousey there. And this one's doing worse than the last one.
You've got Lesnar versus Lashley for their championship. You've got Roman against Rollins for Universal Championship.
Yes.
Becky, Bianca, and Rhea for the women's champ. Oh, by the way, that Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins match. Are they not throwing that in a cage now?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've got,
I mean, they're throwing everything out there.
Becky, Bianca, and Rhea in a triple threat for the Raw Women's. Ronda Rousey, Sasha Banks against Charlotte Flair and Natalya in a tag. RK-Bro, AJ Styles, Big E and Kofi, the Usos, and of course, and many more. Like seriously, what else could they do?
This is the most loaded house show lineup that they probably had in, God, you know what I mean? Like, you know, probably a year or two. And, you know, I mean, the reason it's so loaded is because the last show didn't do well. But yeah, I mean, it's there's no way to sugarcoat this one. It's bad.
Honestly, after seeing this card, I want to hop a plane and go, to be honest with you. So anyway, well, there you have it. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, WrestlingObserver.com. Any other highlights from the newsletter you'd like to share with us this week?
I mean, just this week's issue. We got a lot of business stuff. We were looking through, you know, basically how everybody is doing compared to a year ago. And then also attendance. A lot of wrestlers passed away this last week. Arturo Rivera, who's not a wrestler, but a TV announcer, but very famous in Mexico, you know, like legendary in Mexico. Basically, they're, yeah, I would say, equivalent to Jesse Ventura. Super Muñeco was a big superstar to kids, so I got a big story on him. Ricky Hunter was a journeyman wrestler in the 70s, but has a very interesting career story. And we also wrote about Pepper Martin, who is still alive, but he is in hospice care, unfortunately, who was a actor and wrestler who, you know, did some bit parts in movies and everything, was a television announcer in a couple territories. And was the guy who was probably responsible for the Pat Patterson, Ray Stevens tag team when he told Roy Shire and Pat Patterson that you should go to San Francisco and team with Ray Stevens after Pepper Martin and Pat Patterson had a big feud in Oregon. So,
and there you have it. Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com. Until next week, sir, where again, we're going to have just a bevy of new champions. I can taste it. I can smell it. I can see it. All right. Thank you, sir.
Have a great week.
Next up on the show, Boris and Matt from the BAM podcast are back with me for our roundtable today, talking about Matt Cardona as your new NWA champion. Does that pique your interest? Also, which side are you on when it comes to the Keith Lee return to wrestling? An Elimination Chamber is less than a week away. Are you going to be watching? That plus your favorite 90s entrance gear. Yeah, it's silly, but it's all coming up right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Manny Arsenault, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
I am Keith Lee. Hold the fire, pen and ink to the fire. The breath of battle has a bit in higher. Lee, I am Lee.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
We're back. Mike McGuire here. Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio, the iHeartRadio Network, wherever you're listening. And you can always follow up on past episodes, bonus content, and more at snmeradio.com. Okay, it has been another interesting week as we have Elimination Chamber from Saudi Arabia coming up soon. We also have a new NWA World's Champion crowned just last night. Oh, and there was a football game earlier today, but yeah, whatever. Matthew Ederer and Boris Aguilar from the BAM podcast from NXT Talk join us again for our roundtable here. Hello, fellas.
Hey, hey.
Bonjour. Thank you for having us, Mike.
We are truly international today because, Boris, where are you broadcasting from this very moment?
Right now, I am in the city of New York in the island of Manhattan.
The heck, man? Decided to go for a cruise down in old Manhattan?
You know it. No, for professional reasons, day job stuff. But yeah, I'm here and, you know, this is the beauty of radio, bringing everyone together.
I love that day job stuff. International star and Playboy. All right, let's get down to business here. Big kind of surprise item, but not really a surprise, I think, if you were paying attention. New NWA champion Matt Cardona last night beating Trevor Murdoch. I'm not going to ask you about the match or anything like that. What I'm going to ask you is, does that make NWA power any more interesting to you now? Because Cardona's kind of been the guy as of late.
The answer for me is no. It's I think it brings up a curiosity in me, right? Like, right. You know, it's kind of like Impact, where every couple months they might do something that makes me watch an episode and then I stop instantly. And I kind of feel like this is exactly what's going to happen with NWA Power this week. I'll watch it on Tuesday night when it's on. I'm going to realize and remember why it's not that good. And then I'm just going to pass it up for a few months.
You have a little more positive on it. You know what? I think I might check out at least an episode of the YouTube show, if not the one that you have to pay for, right? NWA Power. But I do think this is an excellent decision. I think clearly Cardona has a lot more buzz than Trevor Murdoch does, right? So it's a good idea. And I think they did hook me. I'll check out an episode or two, see where they're at.
Well, Murdoch definitely fit the bill that Billy Corgan was trying to create with the old school feel and everything else. There was a lot of comparisons to Harley Race, who played a part in Trevor Murdoch's training, et cetera, et cetera. But let's face it, you're absolutely right. As far as buzz goes around independent stars, which is still weird to say, Matt Cardona is the guy. He's the Cody of 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I guess now. Let's talk about another guy who made a little bit of a buzz this past Wednesday on Dynamite. It was expected. It happened. Keith Lee came out looking like the Keith Lee of old to some, to others, actually saying that maybe he's missing a step. I don't know either way. I enjoyed the match greatly. I thought that Isaiah Cassidy was the perfect opponent for him to bump off of Keith Lee's ridiculous moves, but the big buzz was Keith Lee returning to wrestling on Dynamite. Boris, how did it make you feel?
I thought it was fantastic to see him. It's so great to see someone who just kind of got lost in the system, the factory that is WWE, right? So seeing him go out, do his own thing, look fantastic in terms of a strong presence in ring, it was so good to see, and he just looks so happy to be back, so happy to be, you know, on TV, so happy to be wrestling again.
I can see people saying that maybe he like lost a step. I think more than that, it's ring rust. He's been out of the ring. He was recovering from a case of COVID that reportedly hit him pretty hard. So it's understandable that maybe he'd be a little rusty, you know what I mean? I don't think there's anything to worry about long term. It's crazy how WWE missed on this guy. They're just so determined to have like someone fit into their round hole, even if they are a square peg. Like, they have this pre-existing idea of what a superstar must be. And if you're not that, they won't even give you a chance. And if you let a Keith Lee be himself in one night, you see how much of a star he can be.
Well, it's also the surprise factor. It's also the debut factor. The question is, can he maintain it? I think that if he stays on this path, I mean, remember, we were all waiting for the Brock Lesnar match. That was supposed to be a thing. Like even Brock was quite excited to work with him at the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago when he showed up in the match, you know, calling him a big boy and everything else. And it looked really good on paper, but it didn't happen. And all of a sudden, Bearcat Keith Lee became a thing. How did WWE miss the ball on this guy so much, you think?
I think it's simply like, as Matt said, like, you know, he just didn't fit the system. It just, he wasn't part of the, he didn't fit the mold that was what WWE thinks a superstar is supposed to be. So, you know, they tried to continuously push him with dumb nicknames and stuff like that, and it just didn't stick, right? You know, they say that the best characters are extensions of themselves. You can tell that Keith Lee just never really felt comfortable on Raw.
Another face that made a debut of sorts on Dynamite, although not officially signed to AEW because he has contracts with New Japan as well as Impact, but Jay White as a Forbidden Door promise. We talked about this earlier, how Tony Khan wanted to make good on the delivery of a Forbidden Door opening, and the deal actually didn't come through till about Sunday night. Is this something that really matters to you anymore, the Forbidden Door? Is it still enticing to you, or is it kind of getting overused?
So the concept of the Forbidden Door, I'm kind of liking still the fact that someone from New Japan, someone from Impact, someone from another promotion can show up on AEW TV and vice versa. So the concept of the Forbidden Door, I still like. What it's turned into in terms of a marketing term, in terms of a buzzword, you know, that's, to me, it's just overused at this point. The fact that Tony Khan had to go out and secure Jay White after he kind of screwed up his own definition of Forbidden Door just goes to show you it's overused, and it's a marketing term that just, you know, needs to stay buried in marketing boardrooms.
You know what? I agree with my esteemed colleague Boris on this one. I got to tell you, if we give WWE the business for saying like the WWE universe and all that stuff, we have to acknowledge that AEW is kind of doing the same thing with this one here. It is definitely a buzzword as a concept. The fact that people can jump from promotion to promotion and you don't really know what's going on where. And you see it more on Impact than anywhere else, where Impact really has a wide array of different wrestlers every single week. But even in AEW, when a Jay White shows up, it's obviously still exciting, in my opinion.
Let's face it, though, guys, the real Forbidden Door, the only Forbidden Door that exists, the only Forbidden Door that's left, is somebody from Raw, SmackDown, or NXT showing up on AEW and vice versa. They're the only two that are even close in comparison as far as audience size, as far as reach, as far as branding, everything. I don't know if in North America having New Japan wrestlers cross over anymore is the Forbidden Door, because WWE used to bring in guys and girls from New Japan and from AAA and all this stuff back in the day as well. It's not that new of a concept. It's new to younger audiences for sure, but I think there's only one Forbidden Door left, and that's between the two big mains. Okay, another term. The Texas Death Match. First of all, did you guys enjoy it? Let's start there, and then we'll get into the minutiae here.
I thought that the match was overall okay. I think it was overbooked in terms of just the amount of nonsense and plunder that was happening, but they gotta take a step back with the blood. It's just getting a little bit too much when you're literally watching this match and afraid for the competitors. That kind of outweighs that entertainment factor to it, right?
Yeah, I can't agree with everything, man. I strongly disagree. I thought that was a classic. I thought it was awesome. I can see what you're saying about the blood, though. There is no lack of blood, no shortage of blood in AEW. They go to it a lot. And if you're sick of it, or if this one was too much for you, I can't argue that. But I personally disagree. I thought it was a classic, a banger. I thought the finish was incredible. A couple of the spots were just really, really memorable. Great, great match.
If they stuck to the premise, you know, that the rope is gone and focus on that, the match would have been just as good. But no, you had Jake Roberts getting interfering. You had this weirdness when Jake Roberts was kind of told to back off, and it was just too much.
I did enjoy seeing the short arm clothesline, though. That was fun to see, which was his traditional setup for the DDT. But yeah, Jake being an imposing force against a, let's say, what, 40-year younger champion maybe at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe the believability isn't quite there. Now, the term Texas Deathmatch was used. For those that don't know the rules, there's basically no rules except for the fact that you win by having your opponent not get up after a 10 count. So this happened in Atlantic City. Can you have a Texas Deathmatch in Atlantic City?
You know what? I gotta say, why not? It's kind of an ode to the name as opposed to the city, right? So it's kind of going back in your history and saying, okay, you know, when we were a traveling show, this match would typically be marketed in Texas for Texas fans. But, you know, everyone knows the rules of it. So I don't have a huge issue with kind of, you know, putting some history around those terms. Why not? It doesn't bother me too much.
Why can't it be an Atlantic City death match, though? That's where they were.
Yeah, exactly. A boardwalk death match, casino death match. They love casino gimmicks there. Maybe they thought there's too many casino gimmicks. But I will say it's a very big nitpick. It's obviously minutia, but it did bug me. First of all, it wasn't even a real Texas death match. If we're really breaking it down, don't old school Texas death matches have pinfalls, Mike? Am I wrong?
You're right. It's pinfall, 10 count. And at the same time, it's not in Texas.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. No, but yeah, so it's not even a real Texas death match anyway, because the old school rules were you had to get a pinfall to initiate the 10 count. But those matches, they aren't really great to watch in most cases anyway. I understand the change. But yeah, you might as well call it boardwalk death match, casino, street fight, whatever.
To anybody that's listening on TSN or iHeartRadio Network now, yes, you're hearing three nerds talk about the name of a pro wrestling match. But we're going to get down. We're going to get down to the really nerdy nitty gritty here. I threw this up on the SNME Radio Facebook page earlier this week and on our social media. I was talking about the old entrance gear that wrestlers used to wear to the ring, especially in the 90s. I mean, you still get some interesting gimmicks these days. Most of it's jackets or vests or things like that. But back in the day, especially when a lot of the wrestlers were character driven or out of this world, some of the entrance gear was more elaborate than the wrestling matches themselves. So throw it around the table here. Matt, we'll start with you first this time. Which 90s wrestling gimmick, if you were forced to wear it for the rest of your life, would you wear?
I think you got to go tried, tested, and true Hitman. But if I'm going to wear it, I'm going to go like heel Hitman. Normal looking glasses, still got the Canadian tuxedo on, basically looking like my Uncle Lorne.
All right. Shout out to your Uncle Lorne. Boris?
All right, I'm going to have to go with another classic from, you know, that era, and that's the Mountie. How can you go wrong with the Mountie?
Well, you're literally impersonating law enforcement then. You can go very wrong with that.
I guess it's technically it's a crime, right? You can go quite wrong.
That's all right. I'll get through it.
Okay, dude. All right. I'm with you, Matt, except I'm going to go for classic babyface Hitman. There was a contest once to win one of Brett's ring jackets in WWF Magazine, and I must have entered that thing like 50 times trying to get that jacket. And then I found out from Brett later on in life that it got stolen. A lot of his jackets, actually. A lot of the really good jackets got stolen. So there were replacement ones and everything else. And I guess the funniest part is that fans would come up to him with them, the stolen jacket, and however they got it, who knows, and be like, "Hey, can you sign this for me?" And he just has to sit there and be like, "Yeah, sure. That's my jacket."
So. those fans are lucky he didn't just throw him in a sharpshooter, quick five moves of doom on him and take the jacket back. He did it to Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
Yeah. And speaking of not endorsing crimes, I mean, if anybody had one of those jackets now and somehow, you know, got a hold of me through snmeradio.com, I mean, I wouldn't endorse that. I would not condone that for a second. All right, fellas, we got some more of your feedback coming up in just a moment here on Sunday night's main event. Boris and Matt from all around North America coming back with us next.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is you?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you want to go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down.
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right.
This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
It is your feedback time. We always love hearing from you on Twitter on Facebook, Insta, at SNME Radio. You can find that all at snmeradio.com. And quickly, before we get into your feedback, Matt, this is the week now. We are officially in go for the contest, Last Patron Standing, through our Patreon, patreon.com/SNME Radio.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun contest, definitely. Yeah, and it's the first of many. Like, we got a lot of things coming at you. But, you know, I'm definitely liking where the field's at. It's going to be a ton of fun. And this is the deadline, February 13th. So if you are a top-tier Patreon, you can try to win that prize. And more importantly, try to win the bragging rights over all of your fellow patrons. We might even get a couple hosts of podcasts involved as well. And it's the first of many games coming up for top tier patrons over here at SNME Radio.
We could literally offer a Money in the Bank briefcase full of money and people would still be more interested in the bragging rights because wrestling fans love to be right. Okay, Boris, it's time where we look at some of the feedback that came in. Let's start with the fun stuff here. We were talking about 90s wrestling entrance gear. Everything right. From the flamboyant to the loud to the lazy. What were some of the top picks that came from the SNME Radio family out there?
All right. I need to start this off that I love some of these responses. This is like the ultimate wrestling Rorschach test. Like, you know, it's a really testament to kind of their mindset. Kind of like how I said the Mountie, right? All right. So some of the good ones here is Paul York, the infamous Paul York among the group. He says, if no one says Giant Gonzalez, then you're lying.
I saw that and I agree, as long as it's the full body spandex that includes the extra layer of faux fur in the shoulders and the bathing suit area, because that to me is what really got that outfit over the top.
Couple people said IRS. The first one I saw here was Fraz Mirza. IRS, you know, very simple. And I love the reasonings. It's because it could work anywhere. So I love how people are trying to put logic into this.
You guys remember when IRS went to the beach and he wore the same outfit, but he had the black dress pants shorts?
Yes. One that made me laugh was a classic one for Canadians, at least. Martin Ryu with the goon.
Those boots. I don't know.
In certain scenarios, you know, definitely around Canada in the winter.
Now here's another deep cut, gents. Brian Brewer Jr. says Damian Demento.
Really?
Right? This is what I mean. It's like, it says a lot about you when you pick Damian Demento as the person you would love to dress as for the rest of your life.
For those that don't know, okay, Damian Demento was just a big jacked guy. Bald head, had kind of a weird dyed black goatee, kind of a spiky thing. But the real story of Damian Demento was the shoulder pads that went basically like a full, I don't know what you call it, like a sconce or something. He looked like basically his head was on display, and on the big black shoulder pads, there were like Tyrannosaurus Rex teeth surrounding it all the way around. So, yeah.
And if I may jump in, yeah, I don't think he was fully bald. He had like a weird W skullet thing, kind of looking like Al Iafredi from 90s NHL. So the caveat is you also have to rock the Damian Demento haircut.
It was, you know what? He had the double ponytail, but one was on the front of his face and the other was on the back. That's a good look after all. Yeah, I'd go with that.
All right. This one is another deep cut, and I'm going to give this one to Robbie Kempton. And he says, am I the only one who wants to dress like this guy? And we see a picture of the gobbledygooker.
Yes, you are.
The answer is yes. You are the only man who wants to dress like a turkey.
Of course, the number one choice, undoubtedly, Macho Man Randy Savage, the cowboy hat and tassel jacket days, especially. Loads of people picking that one. I've actually done that costume twice for Halloween, and I'll tell you right now, it is not easy. I don't know how much money that dude spent on his gear, because mine looked like crap and cost hundreds of dollars, so I can only imagine that. But there you go. 90s wrestling gimmicks. If you have one listening now that you would love to wear all the time, share with us on the SNME Radio social media, and we'd love to hear from you there. Other than that, we're going to keep it short today, boys, because, well, Boris is in New York and has to go do New York-y things. And Matt, of course, you have to get ready for the first edition of Last Patron Standing. We start with WWE's Elimination Chamber this Saturday It's a 12 noon Eastern time start. Are you guys watching?
I think I will. I think we'll give it some time to watch. Maybe not live, but I'll eventually watch it.
Yeah, I'll be flipping around at least. Definitely give that one a shot. We'll see how it goes, right? But yeah, the Saudi pay-per-views, they can be a tough watch. The last one was pretty good, though, so we'll see.
Maybe we'll have a new Universal Champion by the name of Goldberg. We probably won't, though.
That's not going to
be honest. All right, fellas. Thank you again, as always, for being part of the show again. You can catch Boris and Matt on the BAM podcast as well as NXT Talk. Look for Boris on Slam Wrestling as well as the It's Canon podcast. Matt, what are your outside extracurriculars?
I create content for Operation Sports as well. So if you like sports-based video games, check that out. I write columns, make YouTube videos for them. So yeah, check that out. We're cranking stuff out every single day.
And thank you very much again for listening. If you're a part of our Patreon already, patreon.com/SNME Radio for pennies a show. Literally pennies a show. We do at least one a day of some kind for you every day of the month. As always, thanks for listening and letting us do what we do. Play safe, drive safe. Be safe.
Thanks for finding Sunday Night's Main Event. To get the complete show as well as bonus weekly podcasts, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/SNME Radio.